This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Out of hour number 2 here on the show, company from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. All right, a lot of hoops. First hour, NBA restart tonight. 20-week shutdown. We made it. It's a minor miracle. Hats off to all involved. It was a team effort for sure, even though a few guys tried to tweak the rules, the restrictions a little bit. The Williams, a few other guys early. We're in a good space. 2 games tonight. We'll all watch that. Let's get to college football here. So this is something that Tiki had mentioned a while ago. And it came to fruition where the ACC voted. It's going to be an 11-game season now, 10-game conference, 1-game non-conference. Notre Dame will be eligible for the ACC championship, which is something my partner long ago surmised, and he was in front of it. The one thing, and this really, it doesn't even really matter, but it's such an unnatural fit. I can't stand Notre Dame in the ACC.
Well,
I can't stand it.
It's a one-off from a season standpoint, BT, but I hear you.
But it's not in college basketball, it's not.
Where else are they going to
Big
go?
Big Ten. Come on, yeah. It's such a more natural fit, the Big Ten.
Yeah, or maybe,
Or even the Big 12.
Yeah, geographically, you're right. I don't know why the relationship was with ACC as opposed. I mean, I'd have to go back. How long has this been going on now? At least a decade, right?
A little less than that. Probably because the schools, schools from the Big East that jumped from the Big East basketball, Syracuse and others, and Notre Dame played in the Big East, Mike Bray, for a long time. A terrific program.
Yep.
That was just maybe the natural route. Pitt went there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at that when that actually happened. That is the basketball side. Really, the ACC and Notre Dame creating this relationship, which every other sport, except for football, because of their independence, contractually with NBC, was going to be in the ACC. I don't remember the negotiations around that when that happened. But in some ways, I agree with you because of the geography and the feel of the universities. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, Notre Dame, wanted to do something that connected with the East Coast, probably because of their Big East relationship for a long time. And the ACC, after the Big East kind of collapsed and disappeared, was the next best alternative. And a bunch of those schools from the Big East ended up going into the ACC. Boston College and Virginia Tech and Miami. And so you kept some of those rivalries already that had been established for however long they were together. And ultimately, they just recreated it in the ACC. But this is really about the football season. Now, the ACC came out yesterday with a full schedule of football, 10, as BT mentioned, and one in-state, because it has to be in-state rivalry game, so that this way Florida and Florida State can play, or Georgia or in Georgia Tech, and cross conferences, South Carolina, Clemson, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's great from a logistics standpoint, simply because the ACC has always been about Clemson and nobody else. And we talked about this last week when we were speculating on it, earlier this week, I should say. Notre Dame now gives a viable competitive challenge to Clemson. And I think it works. And the question is, will it be long term? The answer is most likely no, because Notre Dame's athletic director spoke on this and says they really value their long-term independence. And it makes sense in a pandemic year because of everything that's going on and the fact that they can't play games elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And John Swofford, who is the commissioner of the ACC, understands this. They mutually work together. It will be financially beneficial to the ACC, and it gives Notre Dame this unique opportunity to play in a conference and win a conference championship.
Yeah.
That is, if they can beat Clemson.
Yeah, and listen, they put out the schedule. They don't have the exact dates yet, but they put out the schedule model, you know, who you're playing at home, who you're playing on the road. You know, here's one thing I don't understand. So, and I have really heard nobody bring this up, but to me, you know, and we're a sports show, so we obviously focus, just get it back on the field, you know.
Yeah.
You know, how long can you extend the season? You know, when can you possibly do this and do that? But there are 34 states right now, mm-hmm. including D.C. and Puerto Rico, that are on 14-day quarantine travel restrictions.
That's right.
Okay. So can you explain to me how, say, Syracuse is going to go almost anywhere in the ACC, or yeah. maybe even more specifically, because New York is one of the 34, and while it's upstate New York, it's a lot closer to Canada than it is Manhattan. It's still the state of New York, right? So it's still an all-encompassing 14-day quarantine. How could, say, Virginia go and play Syracuse in New York, yeah. right? And not 14-day quarantine?
Yeah, they'll probably make an exemption because of all of the testing that, you know, we assume the colleges are going to take. Now, we don't know what it is. It's not going to be every day because there's 100 kids on a team. They cannot test 100 kids every day for however long a season lasts. It doesn't make any sense financially or logistically. So they'll probably give them some sort of exemption. But you're right. I mean, this is why I can't go see my mom, or my mom can't come see us, even though she's, you know, clear and been isolating and doing all those good things, because she lives in Maryland. If you're in Maryland, you come to New Jersey even, forget New York, New Jersey, you got to quarantine for 14 days before you can do anything. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's an interesting logistic question. My guess, BT, is that the by the time that we get to, which is a month, maybe even a month and a half, they push it back because there's a lot of flexibility in the scheduling.
Yep.
I think each team has two bye weeks, might even be three, but at least two bye weeks each team has. That if you still have that scheduling issue because of the quarantine, then you delay. You just find a way to delay. This is gonna be wow. pretty. It's not gonna be clean.
No.
Right? The only sport that can do this clean is the NBA
and because hockey.
Well, hockey's not isolated. But the only sport that can truly do this clean is the NBA, because they're isolated, meaning put a schedule on and just do it how they plan it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're bubbled. No other sport can do that. There's going to be issues and instances like what happened in Major League Baseball, happened in college sports. We know it's going to happen. You just got to figure out how to best mitigate it.
Yeah. Listen, it's one thing I'm not rubber stamping this, but mm-hmm. people sneak into a state. I'm sure it happens all the time.
Of course.
It's happening right now. I guarantee somebody's listening to us in their car right now.
Yep.
Whether it's on Sirius XM 206 or a local affiliate, whatever it is across the country, right? Radio.com. And they're driving and they're crossing state lines and they have zero intention. They didn't even think about
yep.
quarantining for 14 days. So,
that's right.
But I'm not so sure that everybody's familiar. Like, what is the penalty? Like, they're not going to come and seek you out and throw you in jail. It's $1,000 fine. So maybe the schools just say, all right, we'll absorb the $1,000 fine. But that,
yep.
that's still a bad look for an academic institution. It strikes me as a little brazen and reckless to,
yep.
you know, to, we're not going to do the quarantine if it comes to this. Just, we'll cut the check. We're good. We're here for football. We're here
yeah.
for business.
Yeah. No,
not a good look.
And the hard thing is when you start thinking about college athletes, especially if all of these universities go back to having kids on campus or grounds, think about that. Like, so how are you controlling college kids who are living in dorms? They're not going to be isolated during the season, interacting with tons of students and vice versa, and then going to get on a bus and go someplace and play a game, not knowing if
and then come back from wherever you were.
That's right. Not knowing if they're test positive or not because of the lag. Like, we're starting to see this, and we talked about this for a couple of weeks now. There's a lag between testing
about
and when
5 days, right?
Yep,
five days
between when you may be potentially contracted and when you test positive for it. Yep. That's why we're seeing with the Phillies. It's been 5 days since the Marlins left, and they got a couple of positives in Philly. So it's almost going to be logistically crazy to think about it. And honestly, I think what the ACC is doing is creating a plan because they have to have a plan. They're not getting guidance from the NCAA. So they're creating a plan and then hoping for the best that it can work out. And if they have an outbreak or they have something that derails that plan, then they adjust from there. But at least they have a plan. At least they're not going into the season like, oh, we don't know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know who we're playing. Well, guess we'll figure it out as we go. Right? That definitely won't work. At least they're creating the plan early, which I think is smart.
By the way, Tommy Bowden's going to join us next segment. ACC Network, former Clemson head coach. So that'll be good. Get his thoughts on how do you get ready for a season. Mm-hmm. So many things that are in play here. I just don't have much confidence with college football.
We've said that for a while, though.
For a long time we've said this here. I think that, you're just holding off a dear life. You know, and think about this. If I use the term minor miracle to describe the NBA with a bubble, I mean, this would be like, the equivalent of Lazarus being brought back from the dead, not to make light of anything.
Meaning to make it go off without a hitch.
Without a bubble to make it actually work would be beyond a minor miracle. It'd be like something we've never seen. I mean, well, obviously, we've never seen this anyway. But, I just think it's a rough it's got to be so hard to even, let me give you a real-life example. Think about, and we all go through this, and it probably doesn't seem it, because, you listen to Tiki and Tierney every day, and for 3 hours we're up, and we're lucid, and we're having fun, and we're debating, we're yelling a little bit, and we're doing our thing, right? But, we have wives, we have multiple kids, we've got mortgages, we've got pandemic, we're in the middle of it as well. There's days where our head isn't, we're juggling things, and it's a little bit of a challenge to lock in and snap in. Now, the light goes on, you're a pro, you're ready to go, but there's certain days that are a little tougher than others. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you got kids that are our age, you're going to have bad days.
Okay, exactly. And those days, when they come, and they invariably always do, the method of preparation is a little compromised in terms of how we structure the show, in terms of what time we could do it. So basically we can get off rhythm. I say all this because imagine being a college coach right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get ready for the season, much like we have to get ready for a show. But I mean, it's not the perfect analogy, but I think, you're getting ready for a season, but there's so many variables and, you read something, you're human. You have to get disheartened. You have to get alarmed. Yep. It's a tough juggle.
It is a tough juggle, especially BT, because a lot of these coaches, I think all of these coaches, aren't involved in this process. This is presidents and chancellors of universities and the commissioner of the ACC that put together this plan. The coaches weren't involved. A coach was asked about this. When did you find out about this, this announcement? And they were like, about 4:30 before the press conference went out. I mean, the press release went out at 5:00, whatever it was. Like, they're not even involved in this. And I'm not knocking them for not being involved or knocking the conferences for not being involved, but it's almost the only way to do it is to not include the ADs and the head coaches, because otherwise you don't know how what's important to them is going to align with what's important for everybody and health and safety wise.
That's
and so
right.
You kind of have to do it without these guys in the loop. But I think the bigger issue here, and the example that we've talked about to start the show, BT, with the NBA minor miracle, they're going to have a season that's kicking off tonight, and it seems like it's going to go out without a hitch because they haven't had any positive tests in 2 weeks, which is amazing. The NFL, these guys are screaming for a plan. Tell us a plan. Tell us what the protocols are going to be. We need to know. And they fought about it, and they finally came to agreement right before right as training camp was starting. College football is in the same spot, BT. It's like conferences are doing it independent of an overarching body telling them how to behave or how to react. And so what we're going to get is the ACC coming up with their plan, The Big Ten's going to come up with theirs, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all going to be different. And I guess that's okay, but it just makes it feel disjointed. And how is this going to work, especially in the long run?
Yeah. By the way, what's Virginia doing? Are they going to have kids on campus?
We don't know yet. It's still being determined. I know that the athletes are there. The football players are there on campus. And the Olympic sports and the other fall sports are there on campus, and they're working out. But we don't know yet. I don't think anybody knows yet, because so much of that is determined by the governor as a public institution.
That's
so
right.
It's just so many factors or decision makers involved in this process that it's impossible to know what's right, what's wrong, or what's the best practice. Who knows what the best practice is? Nobody knows.
Nobody except knows. For
the NBA, which is a bubble, and you just can't do that.
Yeah. Well, Marist is actually, the kids are going back.
Are they really?
Yeah, we just got a letter the other day, yeah.
Interesting.
There's going to be, how you
do they report. Have a choice with this or no? You know what I mean?
I'm sure. I didn't get that deeply into it because I'm not a student, obviously, but I just read it. I got a letter from the president. You get the alumni stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I read it fairly thoroughly. I skipped the last paragraph or two. I was just kind of like the pertinent stuff. And, like a lot of programs in the Northeast, all the fall sports canceled. That was a given. But they're going to try their best. And I don't know how you do this with, creative, sometimes elusive college kids. But, in terms of who's allowed on campus is going to be greatly restricted. Like friends from other schools can't come. And, you can only leave. It seems like it's well thought out and well mapped out, in terms of the blueprint for an email. But the execution of that seems to be a challenge. But, there's going to be students
on campus. Well, that's the issue, though, BT, because, look, we talked about this yesterday with the Miami Marlins, and Bob Nightingale from the USA Today was speculating, or at least reporting a speculation, that the Marlins got sick because they were out. They were out doing stuff and hanging out. Yeah. Well, there was a report from Rutgers as well, who had to quarantine the entire football team, that the reason that they got so many guys sick was because it was an on-campus party that a bunch of these guys went to. And so to your point, BT, how do you control that? You just can't. And so it's going to be dicey with college sports this year, because you can't control who's coming in, who's going out, and who's responsible and who's not.
Now, listen, we could sit here and we could, stomp our feet and yell, get off our lawn as dads and husbands. But you know what? If I'm 20 years old and I'm feeling impenetrable and, there's a little party and some girls there, and I'm probably going.
You're right.
So are you.
You're right.
I think he's going to drink a Zima, though.
That's right. With a Jolly Rancher.
All right. We got Tommy Bowden. That was his drinking choice, Zima. Tommy Bowden, ACC Network analyst, former Clemson head coach. How do you prepare for the season? Better have a lot of different plans in place, but Tommy will help us with that. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. That's 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, here come the Irish, officially wedged into the framework of the ACC. And the implications from that, how to get ready for a season in such a unique time like this. Tommy Bowden, former Clemson head coach, ACC Network analyst, is with us. Coach, how you doing today?
Doing good. That Notre Dame entry is going to be big into the ACC this year. I think it's something, just a sign of good things to come.
Yeah, Coach, do you think that this is something that could be more on a permanent basis? I know they don't want to fully give up their independence because of the NBC contract and everything else that goes with being independent and being able to play anyone at any time, but do you think that this has a chance to have some lasting impact?
I think it does, and it's kind of like, dating a girl for a long time and you finally get to first base. Finally got to the first base, and better things
shouldn't take that long.
Come. It took a while. Notre Dame's one of the better looking girls out there, so you had to really work hard. But I think this is kind of getting their teeth in them a little bit, and might have a tendency to pull them in.
Yeah, do you think that Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, because there's now like a legit power in the ACC, consistent power, I should say, because every now and then you get some teams that are really good, other than Clemson. But do you think Dabo agrees with you?
Well, I do for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's established credibility. You know, he's kind of getting up there in the Urban Meyer, Nick Saban stratosphere. So, he's got no other fears. And what the ACC now, the ACC needs a Clemson challenger, and they haven't had one. So Notre Dame might be the burst that the ACC needs. The Big Ten's kind of really solid. The SEC's solid. The ACC's trying to catch them. Notre Dame would be great, and I think Dabo's at a stage of his career and what he's accomplished that he would probably welcome Notre Dame.
You know what, Tom? It's interesting because we were talking about I love the ACC, but it's just an unnatural fit for me from Notre Dame, although with Clemson it certainly is going to be interesting. But to me, you know, geographically, just in terms of, you know, many different parts of the equation, weather, even architecture on the campuses, I just feel like Notre Dame would just fit so seamlessly into the Big Ten. And I know that there were flirtations back in the day. Can you take us through the mechanics? Like, why the ACC now? I know, and I don't mean the relationship now with football. I mean, just in general, why were the Irish not in the Big Ten? Why are they in the ACC?
The ACC has a, just from being in it for 10 years and being in the SEC for 11, the ACC has the perception, and a lot of it's self-inflicted, that they're an academic league. And you went to one of those academic schools. Fortunately, you had success, pretty good success at your time. And I think they see Notre Dame as that one of those top 20, top 10 academic, athletic combination institutions that fit well. Now, whether that's that reputation is deserved or credited, but I know that's how they are perceived. And I know when my alma mater, West Virginia, was trying to get in the ACC, they didn't look favorably on that transition.
that's interesting.
Yeah, but you have good analogies, Coach. They should let you in for that.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. You know, as we look at this going forward, and we look at, you know, how they're trying to execute this season with 10 conference games. I think the SEC just announced that they're doing a conference only, or they put out a 10-game conference schedule only. Is this the right way to go about it? 10 games and you do one in-state rivalry game if you can, but it's got to be in the state of the ACC school. Is that the right way to go about this scheduling-wise?
You know, since every school is in uncharted waters, you know, nobody really knows. But I think of all the systems right now, this will give you the best way to, I think, accomplish a true champion. 14 teams in the ACC, you're going to play 10 conference games. You're going to have a pretty good idea after the schedule who the two best teams are. Mm-hmm. Then it gives you a chance for either another non-Power 5 conference or a in-state rival.
Yeah.
Clemson, South Carolina would be an example. So I think it's got tremendous flexibility. You've got two open dates worked out in the schedule because of the possible COVID-19, whatever might happen with that. So I really think the 10 conference games plus one, especially for the ACC, since it's a 14-team league, is going to give them a really good chance at having the two true best teams play in the playoff championship game.
Pardon me, Coach. We're talking to Tommy Bowden, former Clemson head coach, ACC Network analyst, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So I know you saw this. It's not the ACC, but it's a big name. Caleb Farley. It is the ACC. I knew that didn't sound right in my head.
Correct.
Yeah.
Caleb Farley is the first real true prominent player. You know, a lot of mocks have him going first round. He's a first round talent for sure. What kind of trend does this? Does this open the floodgates? I know that was an expression used yesterday from an agent to somebody in our business. What does this do for the other stars who might follow what Caleb Farley is about to do?
Well, this is what I think might happen. If it doesn't open the floodgates for players to do what he's doing, declare before the season starts, say, for example, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson plays two games, gets COVID-19, has to sit out two games, then because of Caleb Farley, is he going to say, okay, that's enough, I've proved myself, I'm coming out anyway? Or it happens somewhere around the sixth or eighth game with another player, Travis Etienne, or somebody else, high-caliber, potential first or second-round draft pick. So Caleb Farley might not set a trend as far as potential first-rounders coming out before the season starts, but I think it's going to raise some eyebrows and create some doubt and indecision by some of those guys if they get COVID or 10 players on the team get COVID. It looks like the season's going to tank, and they say, hey, I'm going to pull out.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting scenario to think about, especially for some of those top teams that they can't compete for a championship anymore. But, you know, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I started thinking about the issues that college football was going to have with the scheduling. They're all doing different scheduling, as we all know. The NCAA hasn't given much guidance, and it's not even the coaches and the ADs that are having inputs on the schedule. It's the presidents and chancellors, and the commissioners of the leagues that are kind of helping make these decisions. Do you think that the college football playoff can go forward the way that it has in the past?
Oh, they're betting on it strongly, I think, because of the finances. But I think right now, if things hold true to form, the schedules that have been anticipated, everybody right now, I think maybe the Big 12 might not have announced anything yet, but everybody else has. I think we can still get a true champion with a 14 playoff, as much so as we had in the past, if things stay true to form. If there's some kind of a wrench thrown into it halfway through with the pandemic or cancellations or COVID virus outbreaks, then I think it's going to be some doubt and indecision about a true champion.
Tommy, let me ask you this. You know, there's so many parents that listen to our show. Maybe not all parents are blessed to have a son or a daughter, you know, poised to get a college scholarship or getting ready to go back to a college campus to eventually compete again in whatever sport they compete in. But parents care about their children inherently. And I am just curious how this could be positioned as anything other than, you know, and I hate to be so negative, but really just almost a reckless, disgusting money grab on the part of the NCAA. Convince me otherwise. They don't care about the kids.
No, and that's a discussion I had last night on another nationally syndicated show on another station last night. Is that, you know, as a head coach, you sit in a young man's home at 17, you look his mother in the eye, and you say, I am going to take care of your son. Mm-hmm. I'm going to treat him like one of my own and make sure that I give him every opportunity to be successful academically and make sure from a health standpoint, all the medical grades, everything you have medically to offer him you can. And then all of a sudden, unfortunately, with what happened just recently in baseball, this is starting to look like, hey, a financial grab because, you know, Tiki, you don't have time to talk about it, but the ripple effects financially on the non-Power Fives and the 1AAs that play the Power Fives for their budgets, practically $1 million Power Five game for a 1AA school makes their whole budget.
Yeah.
It's going to start looking potentially like you just said, maybe the health, the intensity to the health of the player is on the back burner, and we've got to make ends meet financially.
So we're talking to Tommy Bowden and coach at Clemson, obviously, two-time ACC Coach of the Year, and he's an analyst on the ACC Network, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, Coach, BT and I were talking about that yesterday, about how, you know, some of these group of five schools are just, I mean, they're out of luck. These guarantee games where they get paid, that's just not happening anymore. You know, but let me take in a slightly different angle here. We've seen two schools, Michigan State and Rutgers, have to completely shut down and completely quarantine. And it's looking like at Rutgers, it might have been because some of the kids went to a party, which is just grossly irresponsible. But as a coach, how do you prepare for this season? You know what I mean? It's so unconventional. There's so many things you learn about your team in the spring. They've had nothing. There's so many things that you learn about these early practices, which now have to be kind of distant and careful about. How do you even prepare for a season this year in college football?
You know, what makes it really difficult with no spring and then limited time practice, and the way you play a game with as few errors as possible is get as many repetitions as you can. And all of a sudden, players miss, and you've got to take a guard, move him to a tackle. You've got to take a second-team quarterback, give him reps that the first team's getting, the first team's out. And you start minimizing reps, you're really going to, I think, if you look for a really sloppy plot that's going to potentially go on the field. But, you know, you end up playing and practicing guys. You know, when you have a mass number of guys out, and they're good players, they're your starters or second-teamers, and then you work your third-teamers, or you make adjustments with freshmen, moving them up, take red shirts years off of guys. Then all of a sudden, the other guys get healthy, you move them back in, you've wasted a bunch of practice time. And there's really going to have to be some great imagination done by the coaches. Because, as I mentioned, these problems are unprecedented. They've never happened. and coaches are going to have to be really creative, to minimize some of the situations you just brought up.
Not easy. Coach, thanks a lot. Appreciate you, Tommy.
Hey, last thing, I talked to my father yesterday, told him I was talking to you.
Nice.
He's 90 right now. I thought I was going to lose him on the phone.
Tell your father my best, man. I have much respect for Coach Bowden and for you coming on with us constantly. So,
hey, thanks a lot of your family. Thanks for having me on.
Most certainly. Blessings, Coach.
That's great. How good does that feel to hear that, man? That Bobby Bowden's asking for Tiki. I mean, how great is that?
I left a permanent mark on his mind in 1995.
Yeah, that mark is called respect.
Yeah, true. That's a good point. It's a very good point.
That's awesome.
He got the best of me every other time, though.
As he did many people back in the day. They were a beast. All right, that's pretty cool. Let's get the update from Ack. Rich Ackerman's update is right now. Here he is. Hey, next weekend on CBS, the best golfers in the world head west. I'm going to head out west. Little Kid Rock. For the season's first, Kid Rock, there's an old one. For the season's first major, Brooks Koepka, could he take home third straight Wanamaker trophy? Or maybe somebody else steps up and takes their place in history. It's the PGA Championship, and it is live August 8th and 9th on CBS. And a little golf going on now, the FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Let's see, give you just a quick assessment of the rundown of the leaderboard. Big names you recognize. Ricky Fowler, actually, Koepka's minus six. Nice to see him stripe it in. He's leading the way. He's minus six. He's through 11 today. Ricky Fowler's minus five. You've got Bryson DeChambeau, minus four. So he's bounced back from his 10 on 15 a couple of weeks ago. Matt Kuchar finally decided to pay his caddy, minus three. Matthew Wolf, who's got that sick, he's got that little twist. Mm-hmm. That he's got the craziest swing on tour, one of them. He's good, though. He's minus three. Lefty Phil Mickelson, minus two. All right, good leaderboard. So it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend coming up on CBS. All right, listen, the last thing I want to do, and this is not me taking shots. This is me being a realist. I am not making fun of what this franchise did, because anybody that takes the steps and the precautions to be proactive is winning. I mean, you've got to respect spending the money to try to limit the spread of the COVID virus. But what the Detroit Lions did to their locker room was a complete waste of money. For those who missed it, they basically put plexiglass extensions on either side of the locker. So, you know, you're sitting in your chair. It's on Detroit Lions Twitter account. Go check it out. But so rather than being right next to your locker mate, you're next to him. You can see him. Yep. But you've got this this plexiglass, like a hockey board, that sticks out, and it looks as if it goes probably another foot and a half out past the chair. So you're kind of dug in deep.
Yeah.
It's a waste of money. Well, no, let me say.
By the way, for comparison's sake, you're usually like right next to the guy.
No,
like,
no question.
The lockers are, I mean, there's a foot maybe between lockers. Not even.
Yeah.
Probably less than that between lockers.
Some of the newer stadiums are certainly a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you played at the old Meadowlands, I mean, it was scrunched in pretty good. And even I remember the Silverdome was pretty scrunched in where the Lions used to play there. But obviously, a little more spacious and an awareness that you build something, you've got to hook the athlete up, take care of him. It's not a waste of money if they don't plan on playing football this year. Then it's not a waste of money at all. Then it's great. You just go into the locker room, you sit there, you avoid any interaction, you go home, and you probably don't spread the virus. If they're planning on having a single practice with contact, it's a complete waste of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that, but I wonder if we're going to see, so Major League Baseball started. We see guys, we're excited. Last weekend, it was exciting. We see guys hitting home runs and walk-offs, everything we talked about at the beginning of this week, BT. But they're celebrating, and 95% of them don't have a mask on. 95% of them aren't like Rizzo at first base holding hand sanitizer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're high-fiving, they're giving daps and hugs and everything else because they're excited. It's what you do. Sport takes over. The emotion takes over, and you can't help yourself. I wonder if we'll see a different look from NFL teams. Now, they've been messing with this or toying with this all offseason. You know, how do we make it so that the bodily fluids that come from athletes when they're sweating aren't transferred to one another? Now, I don't know this for sure. I don't think it's passed through sweat, But it is passed through like saliva and mucus and things of that nature that come from, you know, inside your body.
Yep.
Not that sweat doesn't come from inside your body, but you know what I mean.
I got you.
So I wonder if we'll see a mandate from teams that you have to wear a mask. And I'm not talking about like a surgical mask, but we all know those like bandana type things that go around. They're fully like a hood. It comes down around your neck.
Yep.
You put it up over your face and it covers your face. You see guys wearing these all the time in the winter when it's really cold outside because your lips don't freeze. I wonder if we'll see guys mandated to wear those, at least especially in practice, while they're testing and still trying to, you know, figure out the protocols or work through the protocols. That's one way to stop fluids from being passed,
yeah.
But it's not foolproof for sure.
No, it's absolutely not. So even if guys are, you know, even if you shower in tiers, mm-hmm. you know, all right, these guys going now, when you space it out, it's just, I don't know. I guess, again, I applaud them for the effort, but I just think it's a waste of money. Listen, think about it like this, in our terms. So when I know I speak for both of us with this because we were up to our necks in this. We were very vigilant. When this, and still are, but when this first really, really popped and we're like, wow, it's time to dig in deep. We're going to be home for a while. We're going nowhere. And that was probably, you know, right over, maybe a week after St. Paddy's Day. Mm-hmm. If we weren't fully sure right away, we knew very fast, okay?
Yep.
And, you know, we live in a new community, so we're starting to getting to know our neighbors. And I remember the first month or so. You know, I mean, Teak, literally, after a show on a Friday night, you know, maybe Jen would grab a glass of wine, maybe I would grab a beer. Like, we would be in our driveway, our neighbors here. Like, we would have, like, almost like a parade route,
yeah.
Nowhere near each other. And that was adhered to for a month, and we never deviated from that. But, you know, with familiarity, with time, you become a little... complacent is not the right word because mm-hmm. we've been very vigilant with this. We really had got my car washed today. Took my son, mask up. Let's go. You're coming. Get your mask. Daddy's got his. We're going. We're wearing it. So we don't mess around with that. But I do notice, you know, I don't know if we're quite as spaced out as we were
mm-hmm.
now. And you're going through this too.
That's right.
Like we were back in late March and certainly early April. And I say this because, you know, I notice a lot of the players are getting critiqued. Well, how do you celebrate? Because it becomes your norm. And, like,
yeah.
the first game, guys were like this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
weird, kind of like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Now a guy hits a bomb, he's getting dap, and it's, yeah. like, normal.
Yeah.
I can't really fault them.
You could
fault them, but I don't think that – you're not robots, man.
No,
you do something well, you got to celebrate. That's instinct.
And you can't take emotion out of sport. It just, otherwise, it's not sport. Why do it? If you're just up there rotely going through batting practice, oh, I hit a home run. Mm-hmm. That was cool. Oh, look at that. I ripped that one in the gap. Oh, that's cool. You know,
yeah
I bunted that one. Yeah, that's cool. Like, if that's not worth watching. We don't want to see it. And honestly, they're not going to want to play if that's what it is, you know, tamped down to. Now, the real question here, though, BT, and Mike Tomlin was talking about this earlier today, I believe. I don't know. We don't have the sound, so I'll just paraphrase it. But we know that. And again, I'll keep going back to these instances where we started to see some outbreaks. Rutgers, they're speculating that it was a party that guys went to. The Miami Marlins, there's speculation, or actually not even speculation, it's a report from the USA Today that a couple of guys, and definitely one, but maybe even more than that, were out, you know, out somewhere and interacting in a club type scene or whatever it may have been that created that outbreak. Mike Tomlin was saying, and I think he's right, in order for this season to get played, each and every guy, every man in this locker room has to be responsible not only to keep themselves healthy, but the decisions they make will keep their teammates healthy. And it sounds like it's daunting, but should it really be that daunting? Because it goes back to exactly what you were saying. That mentality that so if you're playing a professional sport and you're interacting with your teammates and opponents in this like intimate like competition, you cannot afford to be lax, you know, like you were just saying. You can't afford to be, oh, those guys are all right. I think they're cool. They're fine. You can't afford that. You got to be like we were when we first left, where this is important. This season is important. It's important to me. It's important to our team. It's important to the economic health of my sport. I got to be diligent. The problem is, how can you guarantee that 100%? The answer is you can't.
You can't. And all you need to do is take one look in any Major League Baseball dugout, and I'm sure we'll get to this in football as well.
Yep.
Once we actually start seeing the snapshots and the video of everybody practicing, they're just doing the testing now and getting in the building. But all you need to do is watch any baseball game, and it's confusing because you see, you know, like I know Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, wears a mask. I've never seen him without it.
Yeah.
Thus far, I've watched every game that they played. I've watched large snippets, if not the whole game. And I've never seen him without it. But then, you know, he's right next to a guy who doesn't have a mask on.
Yeah.
And then three guys down, this guy has a mask on, but Brett Gardner doesn't. And this older coach, I'm not calling Brett out, but this older coach, you know, does. Phil Nevin, coaching third base, does. But Gerrit Cole's not wearing one. And that's every single team.
Yeah.
So you almost say, well, why would at that point, why would anybody even bother wearing a mask?
Yeah, because you're.
I'm saying for effect, obviously you should wear the mask.
Yeah.
But I don't get it. It's just too inconsistent.
It is very inconsistent. This is why I was speculating that the NFL might institute a rule where you have to. Right? I mean,
well, that's fine. Then go for it. But just do it now. Tell the guys now.
I'm surprised.
Get used to it, guys. This is what you're doing.
Major League Baseball should do it. Because it's funny. Because you see, not funny, but it is what it is. You see guys, they have masks on. And I see them
down on their neck.
Yeah, it's down on their neck.
I know.
They're at the plate, and you know they even have it on while they're batting. They get to first base, they pull it down, and they're talking. I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah, it's like the guy in right field who's wearing sunglasses on the top of his hat.
That's right.
And he loses the ball in the sun.
That's
why didn't you put him on?
Exactly. They got him there for a reason. It's not aesthetic. I see that every game, BT. A guy has a mask around his neck. I'm like, what's the point?
I don't know.
Like, put it in your back pocket if you're not going to wear it. But more importantly, wear it.
The one thing I will say to defend them a little, I mean, it's human out. I mean, and you're playing shortstop, or you're playing center, you're running in and out, and it's, you know, when it's 93 degrees with 103, humidity or you know, real effect there.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a temporary lapse, and you just take, because, you know, one thing I do notice, it really is constrictive when you breathe. It's suffocating.
No, the mask, they really are.
You put up with it, but it's not easy. It's not fun.
Yeah, it is. Because, like, I know when I would do this when I was playing football, BT, it would just be over your mouth because it was your mouth as you were worried about because, like, your saliva, like, it literally freezes if it was too cold.
Mm-hmm.
But you leave your nose out. But with these masks, you got to cover both. And so the air gets hot and sticky and, like, you just feel like you're suffocating. You need to take a deep breath of, like, fresh air.
Yes.
And that's why these guys pull these things down. But it's counterproductive to the reason of having it in the first place.
Not to mention, like, so, you know, we breathe in the oxygen. We emit CO2. Aren't you breathing back the CO2? If it's, I don't know.
Well, it goes through, but some of it comes back. You're right.
Does all of it go through?
No, it can't.
That's what I'm saying. Well, he's worth about $500 million, but he's still not number one. We'll tell you what that means and who it affects next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.